Amen. Speak with me, Revelation 3. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I've been having so much fun inside of this summer, as every other week we are doing a sermon series, worship series on world religions. We have looked at Buddhism and Hinduism. Last week was Judaism. Next week is Islam. 2 weeks after that, Native American. And it has just triggered this whole thought process inside of my mind. Only 1 out of 3 people on the face of this planet are Christian. 2 out of 3 are not. And so I've been asking myself questions. Why would you choose to be Buddhist? Why would you choose to be Hindu? Why would you choose to be non-Christian? And of course, there are 100 different answers. But then I have been asking the question, why did I choose to be Christian? I didn't have a choice as to what religion I was born into, but I absolutely do have a choice each and every day which religion I will live into right now. What is it? Why do we choose to be Christian? Now, again, there are 100 different answers. Some of us would say, well, I chose to be Christian because I married a spouse who is Christian, and that was part of the deal. Some of us would say, well, I chose to be Christian because I was born into a Christian family, and that's, I've just stayed there. Some of us would say, no, I wasn't born into that. I chose. You know, when I was a teenager, when I was a young adult, when I was a full adult, I came to a conscious decision that that is where I wanted. Some of us would say, I'm Christian because I had a face-to-face meeting with Jesus Christ, and it changed my life. But you know what? Underneath every single one of these answers, I come down to the same reason. Why do I choose to be Christian? Joy. Deep, deep joy. It does not matter what your reason is, underneath that there is a deep and long-lasting joy. I did not choose to be born Christian. I was simply raised that way. Oh my goodness, let me tell you the stories of the churches of my boyhood. The fun we had, the joy we had. I chose to be Christian because of this face-to-face experience that I had with Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, let's meet at the coffee shop and I'll tell you that story. Joy, joy, it's just joy when we look at this. Now, one of the things that gives me joy is the fact that I love our scriptures. I love the Bible. This book is the center of my life. I live by that book, and it will take me the rest of my life and then some to learn what's in this and how it works. And one of the things that I love about this that makes me just laugh is that when you go into the Bible, it seemingly contradicts itself. When you go into page 1 and it said, here's how the earth was created, step 1, step 2, step 3, and then you turn the page. And it says, no, here's how the earth was created, step 2, step 4, step 5, step 1, step... Even the first 2 pages seem to contradict themselves. But when you look deeper, what you discover is that it's not a contradiction. It's a narrative. It's a love story. I love it that in the Gospel according to John, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And in the Gospel according to Matthew, it says, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. Because the fact of the matter is that when we say Jesus is the light of our world and let that live and shine within us, then we become the light of the world. It's not an either-or proposition. It's both and. I love this. This just gives me joy. So let me take you into one of those seeming contradictions today. And in the book of Revelation, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever will open the door and let me come in, I will come in and eat with them. And then we go to Luke, and it says, wait a minute, there's the other side of the door. You stand at the door and knock. It's one door. And on one side of that door, Jesus knocks. And on the other side of that door, you knock. It's a seeming contradiction. No, it's not. It's not either or, it's both and. The door has two sides, and there is this amazing joy down underneath our faith. I want you to come with me into both of those scriptures. Kevin, could you please give us Revelation once more, please? Speak it with me again. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Behold, I stand at the door of knock. Jesus is knocking on the door of the heart. Are we willing to open ourselves and accept that? Are we willing to let Jesus into our hearts? Here's a story. Now, you're going to have to hang with me to the end of the story to see why I chose this one. I love this story. There was a man, a wealthy man, who had a son who was born in the 1950s, and it was very, very shortly after that the mother died. This was just a crushing blow to the father, and he chose never to remarry. As his son grew, the two of them became very, very close, and what drew them was something that he had not expected at all. He had a passion for art, and it turns out his son did too. As this little boy grew up into his teen years, the two of them had these wonderful conversations about artwork, and he, being a man of means, had the ability to go buy some of that artwork. And so the two of them would go out to art auctions, they would go to art museums, every chance they get, they started building this small and wonderful art collection. Well, when this young man turned 18, after he graduated from high school, he was drafted. Now, this would have been then in the late 60s, and this would have been in the Vietnam era. And no surprise that after he was drafted, that he, after boot camp, was sent to Vietnam. He kept in touch with his dad by letters, and they made it all the way through that tour of duty up until the last month. He was in the infantry, and he was sent out a lot. Onto those, out into firefights and into battles, dropped off by helicopter, and away they would go into the jungle. Well, he was sent into a firefight about a month before he was scheduled to come home, and he was killed. This was absolutely devastating, even more devastating than losing his wife. Now he lost his son, and he was alone in the world. And so that father began to explore, how is it that I can find any kind of joy whatsoever? And he did it through art. He began to double down on that art collection, and he began to remember the conversations that he had with his son. And he began to buy the pieces of art that he thought his son would have loved. And the collection in that beautiful home began to grow until every room, the house itself, became this amazing art museum. It was about 10 months later that he received a phone call, and the young man on the other end of the line said, I was just discharged from the army, and I'm home, and I was a friend of your son's, and I was with him that day when he was killed, and I have something from him for you. Can I come over? Well, of course, the answer is yes. And so 2 days later, this young man showed up on the father's doorstep, rang the doorbell, and when the father opened the door, he stood there still with his military haircut, and under his arm was a package wrapped in brown paper. The father invited them in, and immediately they went over into the kitchen, sat down and began to talk, and drank coffee, and just talked and talked and talked. This father was so hungry for any news, anything that this young man could tell him about his son. Turns out this was not just his son's friend. This was his son's best friend. And he had not just been with him on that excursion into that firefight. He had been next to the son. He had actually held that boy as he died. And the father, as he was through weeping, began to question, how did you find out about my son? How did you learn? Well, they had gone to boot camp together. They had been together since day one. And then were deployed together and had wound up, by pure accident, by pure happenstance, being in the same unit together. The thing that tipped their friendship off was the art. Very, very early in their friendship, they discovered that they had a common love of art. The son loved to examine art, to learn about art, but his friend loved to do art. He loved to paint. And therefore, he was exploring all the time the great artists and finding out what was going on out in the art world. Well, one day, as they were together in Vietnam, they got leave together. And so they went into town, and there they were able to find art supplies. They were able to find a canvas. They were able to find brushes, paints, cleaning materials. They were able to find it. And the friend asked this son, would you sit for me? Would you pose so that I can keep in practice and paint your portrait? And so the two of them laughed for days as they sat in that Vietnamese heat and created this artwork while they were on leave. That was what was in the brown package. When the friend told the father about this, he took the painting up, unwrapped it, and there was the portrait of his son. And his friend said, your son gave me the gift of posing, and so I want to give you the gift of his portrait. Well, he was overwhelmed with this. And together, the two of them took the portrait into that large living room, and together they took the painting off the wall that was above the fireplace, front and center, and together they hung the portrait of the son up in that place. And it hung there until the day that that man died. It was decades later that he did pass away. And in that time period, as every day he looked at that portrait, you know, that young man was not a bad artist. Oh, he wasn't great, but he was pretty good. But the thing that was amazing was that he captured the eyes right. He captured the essence of who his son was. And every day as he came down, there was the son to greet him. And eventually he passed away. He had never remarried. There were no other children. But he had been very, very careful in his will to spell out how his estate was to be distributed. The first thing up was the art collection. And so the word went out. Now, the word in that art community already knew that that collection was there. This was gaining in fame. And they were very, very eager. They knew what paintings were coming up for sale. And so on the day of that auction sale, there was a huge crowd that gathered. It was standing room only in that living room. And the auctioneer stood, and he welcomed them to the sale and explained again to them who this man was and what had happened in his life and why this collection had come into being. And he said, in honor of their son, this would be the first painting for sale. And at that cue, the auctioneer's assistants came up and they took the portrait down off from above the fireplace and they placed it on the easel, on the auction easel, in front of everyone. And the auctioneer began and he said, for this wonderful piece of art, I'd like to open bidding at $25,000. Would anyone open the bid? Silence. He dropped the price to $20,000. Silence. $15,000. $10,000. $5,000. Finally, in the back row, standing room only, a man raised his hand. This was their gardener. He had been the gardener for years and decades with this family, and he wasn't there to purchase anything. He was simply there to see how this was going to go and how this was going to play out. And he raised his hand and said, could I please open with 500? It was way too low, but it was the only bid, and the auctioneer accepted the bid. Going once, going twice. You could feel the audience begin to stir in relief to say, good, now can we get to the real auction? Going three times, sold to the man in the back. And with that, you could feel everyone shift in their seats, shift the papers in their hands, and get ready for the rest of the auction. And the auctioneer stood and said, this concludes the auction, my friends. In his will, the father had very specifically stated that whoever bought the son got everything else, the entire estate. All of the paintings. Behold, here I am. I caught it. I stand at the door and knock. And whoever will open and let me in, whoever takes the son, gets everything. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, this is the joy. We could sit down and we could talk together about, tell me everything that's lousy in your life. Tell me about how lousy your health is. Tell me about your stupid finances. Tell me about the relationships that aren't working. Tell me about everything that's going wrong in your life. And then let's talk about joy. Let's talk about the joy that goes deeper and deeper and deeper underneath that. Tell me about the presence of a Savior in your life who stands and says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Just open. Just open. So on the one hand, we look for joy by saying, here he is. And then the Gospel of Luke comes. And the Gospel of Luke says, no, it's not Jesus knocking, it's you knocking. And the Gospel of Luke says, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. You've got to ask for the things that you need. This is the power of those verses. You have got to ask for what you need. And then it says, which one of you, if you in the middle of the night heard the doorbell ring and there was your neighbor who said, I just had company come and the cupboard's bare. Can I borrow food? Which one of you isn't going to give him food? Which one of you who has a child who asks for bread, are you going to give him a rock? If they ask for a fish, are you going to give them a scorpion? No! You know how to give good things to those in your life. Will not God give even more? You must ask, A-S-K. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. On the one hand, we have Christ saying, I stand at the door and knock, and on the other hand, you are standing on the other side of the door knocking. This is what I need. Oh, my goodness. I remember the day that I had a hospital visit with Pearl Newcomer. Pearl was the matriarch of the largest extended family in the church that I was serving. And she was a corker. Oh, my gosh. She was this tough old German lady. And we would go in the end years of her life. She spent too much time in the hospital. And I would go and visit, and we would sit and talk. And one day I said, Pearl, it's time for me to go. Can I share prayer with you? And we shared prayer. And she said, oh, I'm so glad that you can pray for me because I can't pray for myself. I said, what? She said, no, that's the way I was raised. If you pray for yourself, it means that you're being greedy. If you pray for yourself, it means that you're just being selfish. I can't pray for myself. Well, it turns out I didn't have to go as fast as I thought I did. And we sat and talked more to say, no, it's not just okay. We are instructed to ask, A-S-K. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. This is who we are. It's what we are. And in that is joy. You want to know why I'm a Christian? It is not because of guilt. I am not a follower of Jesus Christ because I feel guilty. It is not because I have been threatened. It is not. It's because underneath us all is joy. All right, so my question now is, if Christ stands on one side of the door and you stand on the other, and it's your turn to knock on the door, which door are you knocking on? Are you knocking on the right door? In order to further explore this and really, really try to tell you what I mean, we're going to go back and ask two deep theological experts to help me in this next passage, Laurel and Hardy. Laurel and Hardy were one of the great comedy genius teams from 1928 to 1933. They were the most famous actors on the screen. And this is the doorbell scene.
Now buck up. Go in and tell her you're going to the convention. Be a man. And I'll see you in the morning.
Good night.
Good night.
Dear.
Yes, sugar.
Stanley with you?
He just went in the house.
Well, you better tell him that Betty went duck hunting and that she won't be back until late.
All righty. Yes, baby.
Please close the door. There's an awful draft in here.
What do you want?
How did you get in there?
Well, I was looking for Betty and I came in the back way. I thought she might be in there.
Betty has gone duck hunting and won't be home until late.
Oh. Well, good night.
Good night.
What?
Do you realize that you've locked me out?
Well, why don't you ring the bell? She'll let you in. Don't get nervous. She'll be here in a minute.
Where do you think I live?
Oh, what do you think this is? Halloween? Come in here, you bad boy. Come on.
Hey, my friends, which door are you knocking on? Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's your door. But which door are you knocking on? Because here's the deal. If you are knocking on the door of guilt and shame, it's the wrong door. If you are knocking on the door of wealth, oh, if I just had one more dollar, if I just had one more truck, if I just had one more, if I just had, no, it's the wrong door. Wrong door. If you are knocking on the door of all the stuff that you think is going to make you happy, you know, if I could just marry him, her, if I could just get that job advancement, if I could just live in that, it's the wrong door. If you are knocking on those doors, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's when we stop and knock, when we knock on the door, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. This is the power of who we are. It's joy. It's joy. I'm not a Christian because I feel guilty about life. I'm a Christian because I want to experience the joy, the full joy that God has to offer. I'm not a Christian because somebody threatened me that said, you have to do this or else. No, I'm a Christian because I believe in the absolute deep joy. A joy that is deeper, stronger, greater than all of the garbage that's going on in your life. It's stronger than cancer. It's stronger than bankruptcy. It's stronger than divorce. It's stronger than failure. It's stronger than flunking. It's stronger. It's the joy. It's the joy. That's the invitation. So are you knocking on the door? I want to invite you to knock on the door. Christ is already knocking on the other side. And we are called to knock on our side. It's not a condition. It's not a contradiction. It's not an either or. It's both and. Christ is knocking on one side and we are knocking on the other. May it be that you are ready to open the door to Christ, and may it be that you're at the right door. And Christ is ready to answer for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I give you thanks for joy, for a joy that is deeper and stronger than anything this world.